Okay, so this is an interview that's at Coral Way School. It's about 2:20 in the afternoon on March 13th, 2008. Right. So please go ahead and say your name into the...
My name is Rosaura Sotolongo, former teacher of Coral Way Elementary. And I'm going to say a few words about it, and then you can ask me a few questions if you want. Words cannot begin to express how thrilled I am to be selected to talk and to express myself about the bilingual program of Coral Way Elementary, that school which I taught for 42 years. Throughout these exciting years of teaching here, I have met many wonderful teachers and administrators in this school. When I started at Coral Way, we had in our shoulders a big and heavy goal to make, because we have to make everyone believe in our program. Mr. Logan was the principal that hired me in 1967, almost at the beginning of the new program, first in the nation. And it was thanks to our effort, hard work, patience, and commitment that we succeed. And we were able to cross the big bridge that we had in front of us, because we have a lot of problems from downtown, supervisors that we had to sell our beliefs in the bilingual program. It was a titanic job, but it went through because we firm believed that every child could be taught and learn two languages, the North American, English and Spanish, as well as all the Latin kids, English and Spanish too. In Coral Way, we were just at that time a few teachers. Four per grade levels, two that taught English and two that taught Spanish. But we were eager to push through and to convince parents, supervisors, and big bosses our belief. We had a big grandfather in downtown, Lindsay Hopkins, that we were fortunate to have, Mr. Paul Bell. He was always in our side, an extraordinary person who was intelligent, hard worker, and eager to help. Now, everyone take this program for granted of Coral Way and a lot of other schools, but it was not an easy task. After so many years of hard work, we feel very proud because our mission has been accomplished, and we urge all the new teachers to continue striving for excellence and grow up our program. I'm extremely proud to have been in this novel journey filled with incredible adventures for so many years, and I'm willing to continue in this voyage forever. I love teaching, I love Coral Way, and I always was excited with the bilingual program. And I still firm and believe in this program, and I will be loving it forever.
Well, thank you for that, that was great. You were a fifth grade teacher, or did you teach any other grades?
When I started here, I was a sixth grade teacher. They hired me with Mrs. Sanchez Pando. Mm-hmm. They told me, they pushed me to be in sixth grade, although I was very young, and I said, well, I don't think that I would like it, but I'll try. And then over the years, I passed by second, third, fourth, fifth, all the grade levels except kindergarten and first grade.
And so were you always the Spanish teacher?
Spanish teacher. Mm-hmm. Spanish and math. That's what we used to teach. all the subjects in Spanish, except math that used to be bilingual, English and Spanish.
And when you had children who were assigned to the Spanish group, do you know on what basis they were assigned to one group or another?
Yes, they were assigned on basis of if they know a little bit of a language or if they didn't, and because they were low, average, or high, although we always had special thing that says if the kid is very high, even though they don't know the language, we used to send them to a special person that used to take care of them at the beginning until they can emerge to the group, you know.
But in order to know whether they had language proficiency, were they tested?
Or yeah, they tested orally and written.
Do you remember what if there was? Was there a test that they used, or just
no,
you
I
all
don't.
Just decided?
I don't, because they were special people to do that. They were not. We never did it. The teachers, when they assigned to us, or either someone of the administrators, or a person that used to take care of the ESL or the SSL program, which was Spanish for a Spanish speaker or Spanish for non-Spanish speaker or whatever, they were the one that provided the test. So when they submitted to us, they said, they're not fluently, you have to consider that, or you have to send them like an hour per day to a special person. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about how your day was organized in your classroom?
Of course. We had half a day with a group and half a day with another group. So in the morning, like it was our homeroom, we had a group of 30, 35 kids at that time. And we used to have them for math, for language arts, for social studies, and science or health together. Then when that time finished, they used to take like an hour for the special assignment like phys ed or music or art or library. So we were planning at that time together, the English-speaking teachers with the Spanish-speaking teachers. Then we change, we switch group. The ones that the English-speaking teacher had in the morning, we used to get them in the afternoon, and vice versa. That was and the same thing that we taught in the morning, we had to redo it in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. What about your classroom? How was your classroom arranged, the physical arrangement of the classroom itself?
At that time, we never had like this kind of new things that we have. So it was a regular arrangement, and I mixed them together, and like we pushed them to learn, and that was it. I mean, with certain considerations, like we used to have, especially in our grading and such a thing, like we never grade like a composition thing. I never graded the same thing the non-Spanish speaking like the Spanish speaking. And I'm sure the English teacher did the same thing with the other kids.
I understand that you were in the large classroom, the pod, though.
Yeah.
So did that create other kinds of concerns about
pod,
how to organize?
We have three teachers. I don't know if Mrs. Sanchez Panda talked to you about it, but when we started the pod, and that was our first assignment, my first assignment, not theirs, they were here before me, we had three groups. We had an American teacher, we had a person that was Sanchez Panda at that time that was very proficient in both languages, English and Spanish, and myself. And we used to divide the groups according to their knowledge in math in three groups, low, average, and high, and language arts in three little groups, and we rotate in between the three teachers. And then one of us taught I mean, the math and the language art and social studies, science and health were distributed among us with a large group in front of us, the 90 kids in front of us, 90, 95 kids in front of us. The discipline was perfect. No one talked. Everyone was serious about it. We were like in a big stand, an overhead projector in the back of us. We were writing everything in a big screen, and the others too were around looking and see if they were on task. That's how we did it.
Was that your first teaching assignment here?
Yes, that was my first teaching assignment.
So how did they at that time develop the capacity of teachers to work in a bilingual program, which was very, very young at the time? And there weren't that many bilingual programs in the country even. So how did they train you or develop you as a new teacher to come into a program like that? What did they do?
To me, they jumped me there. They didn't train me for anything.
They just
anything.
Threw you in.
Yes, they did. But the other two teachers have a previous experience because they used to work together, Sanchez Pando, and the other one was Ethel Mike, she passed away a few years ago.
But during the time that you were in the program, teaching the program, you got lots
of
development.
We had workshops, we had planning together, and they used to train me, those two teachers, and someone like a person that we can call it the lead teacher. At that time, it wasn't the lead teacher, I don't even remember. It wasn't the assistant principal either. She passed away. We went to the funeral last week too. And she knew a lot. She had a lot of knowledge. She was willing to help a lot. And she trained us during the hour of planning, and we had certain workshops that we attend to. Mm-hmm. And then during the summer, the first summer, we had like a little train, but it was like a team situation more than bilingual situation, that how to handle ourselves with in a team way, like three or two in the same room. That I had. I even remember the school, Broadmoor Elementary, in the inner city, though, by the way.
What about materials, the curriculum materials?
Materials we always had. Hmm. We always had plenty of material. The math was written in math. We never had at that time books in math written in Spanish like we had now. The other books, we have reading books in Spanish, we have grammar book in Spanish, we have spelling books in Spanish, we have social studies book in Spanish, we have science book in Spanish, science and health.
Do you know if any of those books still exist somewhere, or?
I tell you the truth. I mean, unfortunately, I used to keep a lot of years those books, but you know, every now and then, every 5-10 years, they buy new books, mm-hmm. and the others disappear, and now we have new books. But they were great, especially the social study was great, the grammar was great, the reading, you know, it was very good too, but nowadays we have different ones.
You don't happen to remember the publisher of those books, do you?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. You said that the math book, though, was in English.
In English.
Did you have to do anything to adapt that book when you taught in Spanish?
No, I used to explain it to them in English and in Spanish in a bilingual way. I used to translate a lot of things to them, even though they understood most of the things in English, but I used to say it in Spanish because they made us teach like half of the time in English and half of the time in Spanish. I used to translate a lot of word problems myself and make dittos. At that time, we were dittos. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a copy machine like now. And that's how we started.
Did you feel as if the students were experiencing this curriculum in a way that was easy for them, or was it very hard for them, or was it just something that they were just resigned to do? How did you feel? It was so easy.
Become like something like it's it never bothers them. They didn't even realize it at the time. At that time, they were eager to learn in both languages. We never had any problem with the student. We had some problem with the parents, especially with the North American parents. And we had some problem with the supervisor and the money, that we need more money for that because of the double things, double books. But we never had any problem with the kids. The kids, when they're young, especially when they're starting first in kindergarten, they just... It was very easy. When they start in third, fourth grade, the program is a little bit harder, and still a little bit harder, because they need more special attention, at least to take them out for an hour, until they can choose smoothly they used to get in the regular class. Mm-hmm. But in a very, they never felt bad about it. They knew that that was the only way. And when they came to my class, they knew that they had to talk to me in Spanish, because so, I wouldn't answer to them in English.
So, obviously the Spanish speakers were very comfortable with that.
Yes, but they were not comfortable with the English teacher.
Right,
that was the vice versa thing.
And so the English teacher, the English students just adapted to the fact
they
that they had to.
They adapted very well. Mm-hmm. The kids adapted very well. And we used to, I used myself to sit them together in order that the Spanish speaking will help the English speaking. They never noticed we're American, we're Latin. I mean, that was something that it came like easy. They felt like they were children. Mm-hmm. They were not, called by nationality. They were children, and they all got together, especially, and they played together. And when they talk in the cafeteria, they sit together too, and they talk. They could talk in either language, though. I mean, we were not forcing them in the cafeteria. In the class, they knew we forced them.
What about parents?
Parents?
Did you have a lot of interaction with parents?
We had a lot of difficulty, especially with the American parents.
Really?
At the beginning. Then we used to meet with them and explain the necessity, especially here in Miami, and the big opportunities that the kids would have when they grow up to be bilingual, to perform in two languages. We used to get then children from Chinese children that they knew Chinese, they knew English, and they start learning Spanish, and they spoke three languages.
Mm-hmm. So,
but at the beginning it was hard, but later on, we used to have a lot of parents meeting, at night, in the afternoon, and wherever they think that they have some problem with the kids, we used to meet them during our planning period and explain and tell them how they... Some of them had some money and tutored them extra, but it wasn't really that many.
So do you think it was mainly the English-speaking parents who were concerned about the effectiveness of the program?
Yes.
How do you,
it was hard because it was the first bilingual school. Now they're all pushing through and trying to get them like in Ada Mary, which is completely bilingual, and... Southside Elementary, which I taught to, and Carlos Jota Finlay or whatever, there are plenty of them, and they're pushing through that. I'm working now in a monolingual school. It happens that I end up working in a monolingual school. And the kids learn Spanish, but an hour, two or three times a week. That's nothing. I mean, they cannot write and read very well, and but most of them are Latin.
Do you think the parents changed their attitude after a while if they stuck out the
after time a little a... while before they had half of the year they changed their attitude. They used to feel very comfortable. The kids never said I won't go. I mean, the kids never said I don't want to go to school. I don't want to come to go to a bilingual school. I felt uncomfortable in the Spanish class because we try hard that they feel comfortable. You know, mm-hmm. It was something like it comes easy. I mean, kids are kids. They get it so easy. I have now my granddaughters. And they speak English and Spanish. They're what? One is 3 years old. The other one is 4. They don't go to school. But they have a person that take care of them that don't speak the language. Then my daughter-in-law speak English. They speak English in between my daughter-in-law and my son. But they have the person that take care of her. And she doesn't speak one word in English. So she speaks both languages. Mm-hmm. When she'll enter in the school, she would be a perfect bilingual. But they need, what I think is that they have to have written and reading, which if you don't have them in a bilingual school or in some kind of school that they have at least an hour of reading and writing, they don't learn.
Was there very much resistance or conflict among the staff, the teachers, the administration, about the new program or how the program was being run?
No, they were very, very, very happy about it. Our principal was a big help. The assistant principal, too.
The principal at the time that you were there, it
Mr.
was Logan. Still Logan?
Mm-hmm. That was the second one. I never met the first one. She was dead when I started here. The second principal was him. After him, it was another North American person, Christian DeMartino. And after her, Latin principal. From there on, Spanish speaking, but fluently in both languages, of course. And at that time, it was very curious. I don't know if they told you. When we had Christian DeMartino, and we had Iluminada Valle, that was the one that died. When Crescent retired and the other principal came, Magalia Costa, which is retired too, and she's a big asset. You should interview her. She's still alive. She's a very good person and very capable. She's in the 85, 86, but she will come, I'm sure. And when she came to be a principal, the assistant principal had to go to another school because they never permit at that time assistant principal and principal that they were Latin. That was very curious. She had to leave and it was very, very, very sad for her. She felt so unhappy, but she had to go because the principal was Spanish speaking, I mean Cuban. And she was Cuban, so one of them had to leave, and it was the assistant principal. Then they put an assistant principal, a North American assistant principal.
So the last set of questions has to do with your attitudes and impressions about dual language or
three.
Bilingual programs.
I didn't even think that they can learn three at the same time.
So I get from what you say that you are very happy with this experience that you had at Coral Way. Is that right?
I tell you the truth. If I would be born again, there are two things that I would do and I would like to be and I would like to do. First of all, of course, marry with my same husband, which I've been married for 43 years. And the second one, to work in a school like this. Coral Way Elementary. unfortunately, for money reasons, I had to go. Because I'm a part-time teacher now, and this school, believe it or not, don't generate that amount of money that we need to have part-time teachers to help the kids that are low in Spanish or low in some kind of areas. And I'm now in a school, a monolingual school, that generates a lot of money, and we have 7 part-time teachers there. I work there 5 hours, 5 days a week. And here we don't have money for that. It's very sad, believe me. When this principal, that was my assistant principal, the one before him was my student, Dr. Ortiz. And he kept me all the hours. At that time, they have money. Now with this one, they cut them. They don't have enough. He doesn't have enough money. They cut his budget like terrible. And she told me, I'm sorry, Mrs. Sotolongo, I can have you only 10 hours a week. I said, what? Are you kidding me? I said, then I have to go. He couldn't believe it. He said, let me sit down. I cannot hear that you are leaving after 42 years, go away. And I know that you love this school. I said, well, I need 5 hours, 5 days a week. If you can give it to me, I'll stay here until I die. He said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. Tomorrow is my last day. He felt very bad. I felt very bad. I said, I don't want you any goodbyes or anything. I'll stop by anytime that you need me without money. But I just cannot come. I mean, I need for my mental health to be working. Believe me, I'm even thought to go back like a regular teacher. Although my salary would go terrible down. After you retire, if you want to go back, you have to get your starting salary. But
actually, I did have one more question about the early years. When you came in and the program had been running for a few years, was there anybody formally in charge of the bilingual program? Or did you sense that somebody was like the natural leader of the group or of the teachers or anything
like
that?
I think that downtown, the person that was the big push of the bilingual program was Mr. Paul Bell.
Mm-hmm. What about here on campus? What about here on the school?
Here on campus, Mr. Logan and the people that were working with him and the teachers, the one that have been here for a few years before me, that was it. Mm-hmm. No one came just to, I don't know. It wasn't no one sent especially for this school to be the leader of the, No. I think that the leader, Paul Bell was here a lot. I mean, a lot of hours, he spent a lot of days here, working with us and helping over there where they didn't believe at that time of the bilingual program. Mm-hmm. He was the believer. He was the great, I think that now he started, he was the person that really pushed this.
Well, I think we're about out of time, so thank you very much for the
I didn't talk more than Mrs. Sanchez, right? Never!
No.